If you have a Bible, please turn it to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here at Calvary Chapel, we have been going through the book of 1 Corinthians. On Sunday mornings, we began in chapter 1 and have gone through. And last Sunday, we decided to slow down a little bit when we hit chapter 12. And for most of you, you know that from chapters 12 through chapter 14, all of those three chapters are dealing especially with the topic of spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know about you, but when I first became saved, I had a lot of questions about spiritual gifts. What about what is a word of wisdom? What is prophecy? I heard someone speak in tongues the other day at a church service. What is that? Is that found in the Bible? How should we think about these different things? And so, beginning here in chapter 12, last week we started a series about the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit which are given to the church. And this week we're going to pick up our study in verse 9. But before we do, let's pray together. And Heavenly Father, we look to You this morning, and Father, I ask You that You would come and that You would meet each one of us here. Lord, we pray that this morning You would come and teach each one of us. Lord, we pray that Your Spirit would give us ears to hear what You would have to say to Your church this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I came to Kampala, I think it was around 1.5 years ago, almost 2 years ago. As I came to Kampala and I was noticing the church here in Kampala, I noticed that there was something very special about the people and about the church, the Christians, which are in Uganda and which are in Kampala. I noticed that there is a great desire to know the Lord, to draw near to the Lord, to experience the Lord, and also to experience the gifts of the Spirit that God has given to His church. That's what I've noticed. And that's a wonderful thing, and I've loved to some of the guys in the Bible college here and the girls, and just getting to speak with them about the work of God in their lives. So that's one thing I noticed when I got here. And there was also something else I noticed, that along with this freshness, this great move of God and God's Spirit, you know, they say that Uganda has experienced great revival over these past 10 years. And along with these different desires to know the Lord and to experience the Lord, I've also noticed something which is a bit negative, and that is there have been some abuses in the church of the spiritual gifts and of the experience of the Holy Spirit. Notice those two things. And so I know that the way the Lord has to correct that and to get us a good understanding of what His purpose for the church is brought to us through His Word. You know, God's Word is sufficient for us, isn't it? God's Word has enough to instruct us in righteousness, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And so what we want to do in studying the spiritual gifts is to go to God's Word and to have a good understanding of what He has given to His church. Amen? Let's read together, beginning in verse 4. We'll start in verse 4 so that we can get a good understanding of this passage of Scripture. In verse 4 it says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. to another discerning of spirits, to another different kind of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. You can see in this passage that the Apostle Paul, who was writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God was working in him to record God's word for us, and he is writing here about spiritual gifts. We studied last week that everybody in the church, every Christian who has truly been born again, who has accepted Jesus into their lives, who has received the Holy Spirit, every Christian has a spiritual gift. That's what we learned last week. Each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So everybody here tonight, or today, I'm sorry, everybody here today has a spiritual gift. I have one. We all have a gift or gifts of the Spirit that God has given to us for the purpose of blessing the body of Christ, building up the body of Christ. That's what we learned last week. And we began to look at the different gifts of the Spirit. We looked at the word of wisdom. We saw what that was. And also the word of knowledge. And also the gift of faith. We saw that last week. And this week, we're going to pick up in verse 9, and we're going to look at three gifts of the Spirit this morning. We're going to be looking at the gifts of healings. We're going to be looking at working of miracles, spiritual gift of working miracles. And we're going to be looking at the gift of prophecy. And I don't know about you, but these three gifts, you could probably add a fourth on there, speaking in tongues. These gifts are something that when I hear them, I think, oh, wow, what is that? Working miracles, healing, the supernatural. These gifts have been put in a category of being the gifts that you hear about or you see or you experience and you think, wow, that was spectacular. Whereas if you have the gift of exhortation, which is another spiritual gift, you don't really think so much about it, do you? Oh, exhortation, yeah, just means encouraging somebody. Or if you have the gift of helping, which is a spiritual gift, Romans chapter 12, you have the gift of helping, people tend to think, oh, that's not very important, so it's just helping somebody else, big deal. But I want to know about miracles. I want to know about speaking in tongues. I want to know about prophecy. These are the ones that we hear of and we think, ooh, wow. And even if you're going to advertise a crusade or something around town, you see the posters there, the flyers and things. Miracle crusade. Healing crusade. Speaking in tongues. Prophecy crusade. And so these things are, they get our attention, don't they? And we wonder, what are these things? Many of us, no doubt, have, at one time or another, if we've been a Christian for long, have experienced these different gifts, haven't we? Maybe we've been to a church, you walk in and you're curious because you wonder because everybody speaks in tongues. Have you ever experienced that? Everybody is speaking in tongues. Or you walk into a place and people are being healed and you think, wow, I want to know more about that. Well, it's our prayer this morning that we could look at these three gifts and have a better understanding of God's purpose for them for the church today. Amen? Gifts of healings will be our first one this morning. In verse 9, to another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. I think all of us have a pretty good idea of what healing is. Okay? I'll just give you an example. Someone is in a wheelchair, their legs do not work, and they come to be prayed for, and God miraculously heals them. Their legs begin to work. Maybe someone has a disease or an illness, they're prayed for, and after they are prayed for, they no longer have a disease or an illness. These things are examples of healings. Did you know something? God heals people today. Do you believe that? You know, there are a lot of people in the church worldwide, Christians. Of course, this isn't the only church. There's millions of people in the body of Christ around the world. There are many Christians, godly men and women, men and women who have been born again, who are excited about the Lord, but there are many in the church who don't believe that God still does the miraculous today. Did you know that? And they have concluded from their study of the scriptures that the gifts of healings and miracles and speaking in tongues and prophecy, in the extent that we're going to study it today, they've concluded from their study that these gifts are no longer available to the church today. That's what they have come to the conclusion of. And I find that to be unfortunate. I find that to be sad in a lot of ways, because there's one thing. If they are a pastor of a church, I know that their church is not going to be built up by those gifts, right? Because they're not going to be practiced in the church. Therefore, the purpose of the gifts, which is to build up the body of Christ, to glorify Jesus, that is not going to happen. So this morning, I just want everybody to know that we here in this congregation, we believe that God does work miracles today. Amen? Praise God. God has given to the church gifts of healings, and I want us to look closely at those two words, gifts of healings. And those two words are what's called plural. If something is singular, it means one. If something is plural, it means more than one. And here, when it says gifts of healings, it's speaking of more than one. They're plural. Different gifts of different kinds of healings given to different people. And so, when we think of the gifts of healings, a lot of times I think we picture one guy. Maybe he's an evangelist. And we think of him and he has the gift of healing and he's the one. The gift of healing is there. And it is possible that he has a gift of healing, but we need to think of it in a broader way. God can use any of us to pray for someone who is sick, and that person can be healed. Do you know that? You don't have to come to me. You don't have to go to Josh. There's not something special about us that we are the only ones who possess any of these spiritual gifts. And I think a lot of times in churches we forget that everybody is called by God to give their gift that they have received. It's not just me. I'm not the one who has the power to heal. Josh doesn't have the power to heal. And it's different kinds of gifts of healings for different people. Pray for one another in that way. So healing. Healing, this topic is a big part of the Bible, isn't it? When we begin at the book of Genesis, maybe as we read through the Bible, those of you who have considered the different books of the Bible and have read them, you know that throughout the Bible, we have this subject of healing, and it comes up a lot, doesn't it? In the Old Testament, healing is everywhere. And when I speak of healing, I don't just mean a natural means of healing. I mean a supernatural work of God, which someone is healed, whereby they wouldn't be healed before. And so through the Old Testament, you can remember that the prophet Elisha, you remember him? Elisha. There was this one prophet named Elijah, and he also did miracles and healings and things. But then his assistant, whose name was Elisha, was also responsible for God working through him to bring healing in a person's life. I don't know if you remember this story. There was a certain widow in the Old Testament, in the book of 2 Kings, actually chapter 4, verses 25 through 37. You can look at that later. But there was a certain widow there in a city, and she was called the Shunammite woman. in the scriptures. And she was there and she showed kindness to Elisha. Elisha was a prophet and he often walked around Israel and Judah. And he would stay at this woman's home. She gave him a small bed which he could sleep on when he came into the town she was in. And so this certain woman, she had also a son. And her son was very dear to her. It was her only son. And one day as Elisha the prophet was traveling about doing whatever prophets do, this Shunammite woman, her son, became very sick and even died. Her son died. And you can remember the prophet Elisha came and he went into the son and laid on the son and breathed into him and the son became alive. That's some serious healing, isn't it? He became so sick he had even died, but the Lord was able to do that miracle in his life. That was a miracle, the gift of healing. Also in the New Testament, do you remember in the book of Acts, a certain man named Peter? How many have heard of Peter and of John? Well, remember, Peter and John were walking to the temple one day, and there was a man there, and he had a disease in his legs, and he had been crippled. And there was a man there, do you remember what he said? He was asking for money. People would give him money, would assist him, because he was unable to do anything. He was there. And he was asking for money. And Peter and John, they came by there at the gate of the temple. And as he was asking, they felt the Lord wanted to do a work of healing in that man's life, didn't they? That's what the Bible says. They sensed that the Lord wanted to do that work, and they went and said, you know, I don't have silver or gold. I don't have a gold watch or a Mercedes-Benz or a nice house. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I will give to you. And they said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the man was healed. That's what the Bible says. They had a gift of healing for that particular moment. And just example after example in the Bible. Do you remember Philip, the evangelist? Philip, the evangelist, went down to Samaria. And there were many people there and they were being saved. They were getting born again. And Philip, as he was preaching the gospel, he was also doing something else. He was healing the sick. He was casting out demons. And anybody who has ever read the New Testament knows that healing is there time and time and time and time and time again, especially in the book of Acts. And we can see healing is a work that God does in His church. What about the Apostle Paul? You remember one time, the Apostle Paul, they would even take these handkerchiefs that he had. And even if someone touched one of those, they would become healed. A special work of God there. Special miracles were done by him, it says there. And so God works in different ways to bring healing into the life of the people in his church through this gift, through these giftings. Let's learn a few things about healing. Okay? I want us to study this morning. I want us to have our minds ready. I want us to have our Bibles ready. And I want us to learn a few things about healing this morning, because there are a lot of people today who claim to perform healings, and even me myself, I've experienced that in my own life and in the lives of the ministry that I have been involved with, healing. We have to remember this, okay? We must remember this, and I mentioned this last week also about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts will always bring glory to Jesus Christ. Always. There's no exception. There is not one exception to that rule. Jesus said this, when I go away, I'm going to send another comforter. He was speaking of the Holy Spirit. And he will not testify of himself, but he will speak of me. The Holy Spirit does not testify of himself, and he especially does not testify of the person whom he is using to do that special gift. Okay, we have to remember that, because I think there's great danger, especially for some of us. Maybe God has given us gifts of healings. He has used us to perform that miraculous thing. And it's good for us to remember that Jesus, listen to this, Jesus is the one who is doing the healing. Not Apostle so-and-so. Not this TV evangelist. Jesus is the one who is doing the healing. It's His power. If I was to pray for somebody, and by God's grace they would become healed, then I have to remember, Jesus is the one who does the healing, not me. I don't even know why He chooses to use me. Even the giftings that I have, teaching and to be a pastor, these are gifts that God has given me, and I have to know this. This is God's power. It's not me. You can ask my wife. Before I got into the ministry, I was afraid to stand in front of even one person. When I was at Bible college, this is a funny story. When I was at Bible college, there were only around 500 students in our class there. And we were all in a large hall, a large auditorium. And it was the end of the school year, and the teacher was asking students to come forward and give their testimony. The teacher was asking for testimonies from the students about what God had done in their lives and things like that. And I remember I had friends who were very, you know, they were very good with people. And they would go up there, oh, God has blessed me, amen, you know, and it sounded very nice. But I had a friend who was sitting next to me, and he was saying, Brian, God has done some great things in your life, because the Lord had done some wonderful things for me. He had saved me and just caused me to grow in the Lord, and all of these different things. My friend said, Brian, go up there. Give a testimony of what God was doing. And when he said that, my hands started to shake. Sweat started coming off of my head. Oh, I felt I couldn't even stand. My legs were so shaky. And this is funny. I felt the Lord was telling me, you know, you need to go and give a testimony of what I've done in your life. It was God's work. And so as I would walk up there, I stood out of my seat, you know, and everybody looked at me. All eyes on me. And I wanted to just sit back down and pretend like nothing ever happened. But I walked up there and my legs were shaky and I was stiff like this. And, you know, I got up there and I said, and of course, for you, you're just looking at me, but when I'm standing up here, I can see you, and we're not a very large group of people here this morning. But if you've ever stood in front of a lot of people, you know, right when you get up there and turn around, oh, and I fell down. No, I'm just kidding. I couldn't move. But I got up there and I turned around and my hands were shaking and I had my Bible and I was talking, oh, hi. I was so afraid, and I was able to, you know, give a testimony of what the Lord had done, and then quickly run and sit down, sweating. My shirt was soaked with sweat. Some of the guys at the Bible college laugh now because it's not that way with me anymore. And I know myself that the only reason why God... the only reason why I am up here and why I am actually saying something to you is because of God's grace and God's work in my life. It's not because I am a good speaker, okay? If you ever are tempted to think that, then you should see me the way I was before I came. And so it's the Lord's work. It's God's work in our lives. Spiritual gifts, they are gifts. They don't belong to you. You're not the one who gives. It's God. God wants to give to His church, and He wants to use you, but He wants you and He wants me to know that it is His work. If someone is healed because somebody prays for them, it is not because the power lies in that individual person. And I'm afraid that today in the church, there is a lot of glorification of these men and women who have been used by God. You hear people talk like it's that man that healed them. Oh, you're healed from this. Yes, so-and-so healed me. I went to a crusade and he healed me. I went to this woman and she healed me. Or you even hear them talking, I healed 500. I did this. I did that. It is God's work. God is the one who heals. And do you know what the Lord said in the Bible? He said, I am the Lord God, and I will not give my glory to another. He will not do it. And it's dangerous to take the glory that belongs to the Lord because of what He's done in your life and in my life. We must remember that. It's the Lord who does the work. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, God says to Moses, For I am the Lord who heals you. He is a God of healing. In Matthew chapter 8, we can see that this power does come from Jesus through His atonement on the cross. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 says, When evening had come, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed, and He cast out the spirits with a word, and He healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. It's the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 53, speaking of Jesus' work to bring healing to our lives, as the ministry of Jesus shows. Faith is also a big part of healing. We've seen that God is the one who does the healing. It's not us. But God does it in our lives through this thing called faith. And of course, I know that I'm speaking of something, maybe the word is very familiar to you. Faith. You hear it a lot on television. You read it sometimes in Christian publications. Faith. Well, faith is an important part of healing. Listen to this. God wants us to believe that He is able and willing to heal someone today. Did you know that? And let me just be real honest with you, real open with you this morning. It is hard for me to believe that God does healings today. And that's my problem. When I think of healing and when I think of someone raising up from a wheelchair or someone being healed in that way, I know that God can do it. I believe that He can do it. I believe He still does that today, and I've seen Him do that genuinely. And I'm not talking about these fake things. I'm talking about genuine healings. I know He can do it. But when it comes time for me to pray for someone who is sick. Now, if someone has a small flu, that's easy, right? Pastor, pray for me. I'm coughing and I have a small flu. Okay, let's believe the Lord for a healing. Amen. But when someone comes up to me and they have a serious problem or something's terribly wrong physically, and they want me to pray for them, then it's hard for me. That's why we need faith. And I mentioned last week when we studied the gift of faith that the gift of faith often goes together with the gift of healing and the gift of miracles. Because we need faith. Jesus said this, if you have faith as small as the grain of a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, go and be removed into the sea and it will go. That's small faith. And so faith is something that is important for us. And faith is just this. Believing that God can do it. Trusting in Him. That's what faith is. God, You said in Your Word that You can heal people. You've done it before, and I'm going to pray for this person. I'm going to pray that You would heal them. That's faith. And we need faith. It's a big part of healing. Matthew chapter 13 says this, verse 58. It says that Jesus did not do many mighty works there, and that's speaking of His home city. He did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You see why Jesus didn't do mighty works? Was it because He was not able? Not at all. He was more than able. He did it everywhere else. The reason why He could not do many mighty works there was because of their unbelief. They looked at Him and they said, He grew up here. We knew Him as a small boy. And now He thinks He's a prophet. And He wants to come and heal. And they didn't believe. And it says, Jesus, You just left. He didn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. In James chapter 5, verse 14, it says this about people who are sick. It says, Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And listen to this. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. That's what the Bible says. Is anybody sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray for him, anointing him with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. That's what the Bible says. And so faith is an important part of healing. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith is an important part. Now let me just say this, and this may be a bit controversial to some of you. That word controversial means you may disagree with it, but I believe the Bible teaches it very clearly. I'm going to say this, that not everyone whom you pray for will be healed. You know, there is a false teaching in the church today. It's been called the Word of Faith movement. Men such as Kenneth Copeland and some of these other guys have really started it, Kenneth Hagin and these. And they teach that if you claim something, that it is true, then it will come to pass because of God's promises to us. So that if you pray for 1 million shillings, then God will give you that. If you pray for someone to be healed, then God will heal them every time. And this is the second part that they teach. And if you do not get the 1 million shillings, and the person is not healed, it is only because you don't have enough faith. So you need to build your faith so that you can have the money and you can have the health and the prosperity. That's the teaching. That's absolutely false. That's not what the Bible teaches. Let me give you some examples. I think we can all consider that probably one of the greatest men of faith in the Bible is the Apostle Paul. Isn't he? The Apostle Paul had so much faith in God. God did mighty miracles through him. Mighty miracles, healing, and he was even raised from the dead himself. As he was stoned walking out of the city, the Lord raised him and he went back in. Faith. He was a man of faith. Well, the Apostle Paul was also a man who had a physical ailment, an illness. The Apostle Paul was sick. Most of his travels as a missionary, as an apostle, he was sick. He had a disease, and it had to do with his eyes. You can look that up in Galatians chapter 4, verse 13 through 15. He said, "While I was sick there with you, you cared for me, and you would have even given me your own eyes," because he had this problem. So the Apostle Paul, a man of faith? Yes. A man who had the gift of healing? Yes, absolutely. But a man, nevertheless, whom God chose that he should still remain sick. And the reason for that is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. The Bible says, or Paul says there, that God gave him a thorn in the flesh. Thorn in the flesh means something physical, his flesh. And most people believe that was his problem, which he had in the city of Galatia. And Paul said this, "God gave me a thorn in the flesh so that I would not trust in myself." And you know that part of the Bible. It says, and he made me weak. He made me weak because when I am weak, then that's when I'm strong, because he is strong through me. You see, God will oftentimes cause us to be weak. That sounds mean at first. Oh, doesn't he love us? Why doesn't he give us 1 million shillings and make us healthy every day? That's what we may think. Why am I like this? Why has God not healed me? Doesn't he love me? Yes, he loves you, and he wants to use you in a powerful way. You know, I think of, and some of you may know this particular lady in the church in Christianity. Her name is Joni Erickson Tada. Have you ever heard of her? And Joni Erickson Tada, I love using her as an example of this very truth. Because when she was, I think, 17 years old, she dove into some water and she broke her neck. Okay? She broke her neck in the water. She hit some rocks or something. And she broke her neck, and from her neck down, her body does not work. She can't move her hands. She can't move her legs. She can only move her head. And so she has to have this special chair that she moves around in. Her body doesn't work. And Joni Erickson Tada has one of the most powerful ministries in the church today. I don't know if you know that or not. She travels around the world speaking to large groups of people, and she has a ministry which is especially for people who can't move their arms or their legs. People who are crippled and people who are sick. And God has used her in such a great and mighty way that thousands of people have been encouraged, built up, saved, all these things. And I know that if she didn't have that problem, if those people who were crippled or sick could not look at her and see that she was sitting there, she couldn't move her hands, she can't move her legs, but her mouth, there's a big smile. She can move her mouth. And she smiles and she tells people about the love of Jesus. That Jesus loves people so much, even her. And people look at her and they think, she should be sad. She should be upset with God. She should be angry about the way that she is. They're crippled. She can't move her arms or legs. But she shows them that God is good no matter what. And God has used that. And do you know what? People have prayed for her to be healed. And she wasn't healed. And do you know the reason why? It wasn't because the person didn't have enough faith. It was because God wanted her to be that way so that he could use her more powerfully. That's why. And so God doesn't heal everybody. God doesn't raise everybody up from the dead. Or God doesn't do these. And it's not because of our lack of faith. Now, a lot of times it is. Okay? Sometimes it is because of our lack of faith. Do you remember the disciples? When they came back to Jesus, they said, we couldn't cast out the demon. And Jesus said, well, this kind comes by nothing but prayer and fasting, a way to really get yourself aligned with God and put faith in him. So sometimes it is because of our lack of faith, but not all the time. So the gift of healing, you know, I think it's funny. This is just a side note. Those guys who teach this doctrine, this word of faith doctrine, that if you just claim it, then it will happen to you. And they teach that no man or woman of God should ever be sick, right? That's the teaching. Because if you're a man of God, you have faith. If you're a woman of God, you have faith. Therefore, you should be healed all the time. You should never be sick. Do you know what I think is funny? I think it's funny when those guys get sick. In fact, there was one particular man. I can't remember his name this morning. There was one guy, one of these famous TV evangelists teaching you should never be sick. God will always heal you. And he got sick. In fact, he got cancer, which is a terminal disease a lot of times. And he got sick, and he went and checked himself into a hospital under a fake name. Because he didn't want anybody to... He didn't want people to stop sending him money. Because when they see, here's the evangelist who's been teaching me that I don't have enough faith, and that's why I'm not healed, and their lives are destroyed. And then they see him in the hospital, and think to themselves, hey, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong with this teaching. God's word is just so good, isn't it? God's word is able to lift up the blinders on eyes. The second gift this morning is the working of miracles. Working of miracles. We've got the gifts of healings by the same Spirit. In verse 10, the working of miracles. This is a gift that is, I think, the most amazing, right? Amazing means when you see it, you think, whoa, wow. And the working of miracles, I think we know what a miracle is, don't we? Someone is dead, and then they come back to life. Miracle. Right? Different things that happen. Miracles. Remember Elisha in the Old Testament. The axe head fell, this piece of iron, and then it floated. A miracle. And what a miracle is anything that goes beyond the natural realm of nature. Nature has certain laws, doesn't it? The law of gravity. What goes up must come down. That's a natural law. Okay? If someone hits their head, then nature will tell them that it's pain comes down. There's natural things that happen, natural laws. Well, a miracle is something that is beyond nature, something that even works against nature. Nature says once a person is dead for a certain amount of hours, then that person is dead forever. Right? That's what nature says. That's true. But a miracle can happen which goes against what nature says, and the guy can be or girl can be raised from the dead. That's a miracle, something that is goes against nature. Well, God is a God of miracles, isn't He? And I was asking myself, you know, in the Bible, I know there are a lot of miracles, but where do you think the first miracle is in the Bible? Does anybody know? Think about it. When's the first miracle? I'll give you a hint. It's the very first chapter, the very first verse. Isn't it? The very first chapter, the very first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it's been said, if you can believe the first verse in the Bible, you can believe the rest of it. Let me tell you this morning. If you believe that God created everything out of nothing, then you can believe God can still do miracles today. God created everything out of nothing. Now, some of these guys know I like to build things. We work together and we built these walls and different things. I like to build things, but whenever I'm going to build something, I have to have first the materials in which to build it, right? I have to get some timbers and some boards and I have to get some nails and a hammer, these different things, if I'm going to build. And then I can make something out of it. But God, He doesn't need anything to start with. He can speak out of nothing things into existence. God spoke and it was there. That's a miracle. Because nature says you can't do that. So, from the very first verse in the Bible, God has been doing miracles. And if you can believe the first verse, you can believe the rest of it. You know, I find it very sad that today there are a lot of people who study the Bible. They're called scholars. Many of the professors at large universities around the world. They study the Bible, and every time they get to a miracle, they make an excuse as to why it's not a miracle. I don't know what they do with the first verse, but when they go through it, let me give you an example. When Moses was crossing the Red Sea, do you remember the miracle? He held up his staff and the sea parted and the Israelites walked through. Right? That was a miracle. Well, these people, these scholars, they're very clever. They're smart. Smarter than I am. But they come to the Bible and they say about Moses and the Red Sea, they say, well, Moses didn't cross the Red Sea. He crossed the Reed Sea, which is another small sea. And the Reed Sea is only 1 foot deep. So they could have crossed over on the Reed Sea and there was no miracle. And I kind of laugh and think, well, I wonder how all those thousands of Egyptians were drowned in the Reed Sea in 1 foot of water. You see, there's miracles. God has done miracles, actual events in history which are miraculous against the common laws of nature. When they come to the burning bush, do you remember the burning bush? Moses again was there, and the bush was on fire, but it didn't burn. That was a miracle. Well, these same guys, the smart ones, you know, in the university, they say, oh, well, that was just a sulfur jet, one of these things from the ground that puts out hot air. And so Moses thought it was on fire, but really it was just this hot mixture of gas and things. That it was there. And so in every miracle in the Bible, they say, well, no, that wasn't a miracle. And they have a real hard time because the Bible is full of miracles. Big time miracles. The sun standing still for a day. Remember Joshua? The sun stopped. Something stopped in the earth's rotation to where the sun stood still for a miracle. Big time. And all of these different things. But God is a God of miracles. And here in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says that certain people have the gift of miracles. The question I have to ask is, are there a lot of people with the gift of miracles today? And someone with the gift of miracles would be able to do and perform miracles, much like the early apostles did. And when I think about it and consider church history and the church today, I think that a lot of people in the church don't have this particular gift. I'm not saying it's not there today, but I think a lot of people do not have this gift. And one of the reasons I think that is because this gift is probably the most dangerous gift. And let me explain. The most dangerous. The most dangerous for the person whom God has gifted with that. Because think about it. If God gave you the ability to perform miracles, there would be a great temptation for two things. You would be tempted to get yourself something by doing miracles. Money. You'd be tempted to solicit money from people by doing miracles. Okay? And you would also be tempted to be prideful. Look what I can do. Look at my ministry. Look at all of these people at the crusade. Watch what happens when I swing my jacket and everybody falls down. And there's a great temptation there to get money, to get gain from it, and to also be proud about it. I think there are people with this gift today who are being destroyed by it. They don't understand the concept of humility. They don't understand that it's God's ministry. They don't understand that it's not for the purpose of buying a $3 million home, which Benny Hinn did in America not too long ago. And so I think there's a real danger here. And I don't think a lot of people, God gives this gift to a lot of people for that very purpose. And so the working of miracles, it's a wonderful thing, and God can do great things through it. There are genuine times when God uses people to raise people from the dead. I don't know if you remember, some of you some time back, but Ken and Gigi Ames here were working a medical clinic, and someone was brought to them who had been dead, a small child, dead for many hours, and they had given up, and they brought them, and a simple prayer was made, and the Lord raised that child from the dead. He's alive today, after being dead for many hours. That's a miracle. That happens. And I think a lot of times we are skeptical, at least me myself, I'm a bit skeptical, and that means I kind of question things, right? Oh, did you see this apostle? He's doing miracles. He's healing. All of these things. And in my mind, I think, oh, but is he really? And I think one reason why we can be a bit skeptical, questioning that a lot, is because there's so much fraud. Do you know what fraud is? It means you make people think something, but really, it's not true. And a lot of these TV evangelists, and I hate to bring them up so much, but we're dealing with something which they are always actively doing. I hate to bring them up, but many of them have been exposed as frauds. Chuck Smith, who is the founder of Calvary Chapel in California in the late 60s, he was at a healing crusade when he was younger in his ministry. And there was a certain man there who was holding a healing crusade, a big name, you know, a big guy, everybody knew him. And he was holding a healing crusade, and an old man came forward with these oxygen tanks. You know, they have to put the oxygen into their mouth so that they can live and survive. An old man had oxygen tanks, and he went up there. And the man, you know how they do, oh, the Lord's going to heal you, the Lord has healed you, take the tanks away. Take the things out. And the man took it out. Oh, praise God, I'm healed. He walked around and everybody, yeah, praise the Lord. Well, Chuck Smith tells the story. He was out in the parking lot where his car was. And he saw the old people come up, and he was going to ask them, how did it feel to be healed? How did it feel for God to do that in your life? And as he walked toward them, the wife of this man thought that he was working for the certain evangelist that was there. And she said that, does he want us to come back tomorrow night with the oxygen tanks? Because he had paid this old man to bring his things so that people would think that he did a healing so that their faith could be encouraged. Let me tell you something, that happens a lot. We don't hear about it here in Kampala very much, but in the Western countries, many of you know this here this morning, In the Western countries, people are very skeptical. That's bad a lot of times. People don't want to accept Jesus because they don't believe in him and all that. But they become so skeptical that they investigate ministries. Some of the people that you may love and enjoy watching on Lighthouse Television have been investigated and have been proven time and time and time and time again to do that fraud. Now, I say that, but then I want to tell you that that's not always the case. I'm not among those people that say, well, then we should give up. I say this, let's practice the gifts of the Spirit according to the Word of God and watch God work mightily. Amen. Does God heal today? Yes. Should I ask for someone to pray for me to be healed? Yes. Should I believe that God is able to heal when I'm praying for someone? Yes. Does God work miracles? Yes. He does. But let's make sure that we stay in His Word. This is where we learn from. This is how we know what God does. And so, the Lord is working miracles through the gift of miracles in the body of Christ. And finally this morning, the gift of prophecy. Next week we're going to go into the discerning of spirits and also speaking in tongues and interpretation. That should be exciting. That is another exciting one. But prophecy. The gift of prophecy. The simple definition of what prophecy is speaking forth the Word of God. That's what prophecy is. Speaking God's Word. Okay? That's the definition of the gift of prophecy. This is done mainly by teaching God's Word. Let me tell you something. I pray that God would use me to prophesy on Sunday mornings when I'm teaching. That's what I pray for. That God would give me that anointing, the special ability to preach His Word, to where it doesn't just go in one ear and out the other. And that He would give me that ability to prophesy, to proclaim God's Word. This is God's Word, and this is what I know is God's Word. But that's not the end of the gift of prophecy, is it? That is mainly what prophecy is, speaking forth God's inspired and authoritative Word, which is right here. Okay? But prophecy is much more than that. Prophecy can also include foretelling the future. I don't know if some of you remember the story in the book of Acts. Paul was going to go into a certain city, and there was a man there named Agabus, and he was a prophet. And that man, Agabus, he gave a prophecy. He used the gift of prophecy, and he said, he actually took Paul's belt, and he wrapped it around his hands. Do you remember the story? He wrapped Paul's belt around his hands, and he said, the man who owns this belt is going to be bound, and he's going to be beaten there in Jerusalem, I believe it was. So he gave a prophecy, and he told the future, foretelling the future. And he said, you know, the man who owns this belt is going to be bound in Jerusalem. And the truth was, that happened to Paul. It was a true prophecy. And so prophecy, the gift of prophecy, can also include those words from the Lord about something that may happen in somebody's life. I don't know if you remember the Apostle Paul, when he was speaking to Timothy, and he said to Timothy that you should wage a good warfare according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. And probably somebody had told Timothy, you're going to have trouble here in Ephesus, you're going to have some troubling times, but then the Lord will do a great thing through you. Someone probably said that, a prophecy to Timothy. And then Paul is saying, fight a good fight, wage a good warfare according to those prophecies. Remember what the Lord spoke to you. And that's the same here with in my own life, with my wife here. There was a prophecy given over us. You know, some specific things, and those things have happened, and the Lord is using that in my life to build me up, to help me. That's what the gift is for. And so the gift of prophecy. One more thing about the gift of prophecy before we close this morning. But the New Testament gift of prophecy, which is shown here in chapter 12, we're also going to look at it more when we get to chapter 14, which deals with prophecy and speaking in tongues. The New Testament gift of prophecy is different than the office of a prophet in the Old Testament. Okay, that's important. Today, you see people saying, "Thus saith the Lord, you have to do this, this, and that." And then they say, "And don't question it because it comes from the Lord." Right? The Lord is telling me that you should do this. And if someone would ever say to them, "But that's not what the Bible says," then they would say, "Don't question that word. It was from the Lord." Right? That was a word from the Lord. You should not question it. Don't question the Lord's anointed, the Lord's prophet. Well, the New Testament gift of prophecy is different from the Old Testament office of a prophet, like Isaiah or Jeremiah. Because in the New Testament, the gift of prophecy, the Bible says, question every prophecy. Don't just believe it. Someone stands up and says, "The Lord is telling you to give me 10,000 shillings," then you need to ask yourself, is that really the Lord? Someone stands up and says, "The Lord told me that you're supposed to go and do this thing," you question. That's what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29. It says that if a prophecy comes forward, then the rest who are around are supposed to judge that prophecy. We'll look at this more closely later. But that's a big difference. Because when someone tells me, "The Lord told me you should do this," I'm going to tell them, "Well, let me pray about it. Let me study the Bible and see if that really is the Lord." And the person should say, "Yeah, it's fine." It is much different. Because in the Old Testament, Zechariah or a prophet Isaiah, when they spoke forth the word, they were speaking forth this. Okay? This is the word of the prophet in the Old Testament. And this should never be questioned. This is God's word. Did you know that in the Old Testament, if someone prophesied on behalf of the Lord, and it was a false prophecy, do you know what they would do to them? They would kill them. They would stone them. Imagine if that was the case today with the gift of prophecy in the New Testament. There would be a lot of dead prophets. Right? I'm just being serious. There would be a lot of people who were dead because there's been a lot of false prophets. Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 24, "In the last days, many false prophets will arise and deceive many people." Let me tell you something. They have arisen. They're in the world today. They're on television today. They're in the newspaper today. They're here today. False prophets are here. And if you don't think so, then just listen to the prophecy. How do you know if someone's a false prophet? Well, if they say something and it doesn't come to pass, false prophet. If they say something and it is contrary to God's word, false prophet. And so, the Old Testament prophet could not be questioned. But in the New Testament, the Bible says, test the spirits. Find out if they are from God or not. It's in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Test. Don't just believe everything. There's one thing I can leave us with in the study of spiritual gifts is, make sure that what you are doing is found here. Make sure what you believe comes from here, not from here. Not even from me. Not even from Josh, and he's right most of the time. Okay? Make sure what you believe is found right here. And if it's not here, don't believe it. Don't believe everything you hear. Even if everybody in Kampala is going to their crusade, don't believe it unless it comes from here. Don't believe me. If I say something that you have seen elsewhere in the Bible that it's not true, you come to me and tell me, and I'll change. Josh does that all the time. "Hey, Brian, did you know that you said this? Well, here in the Bible it says this." Ooh. Thanks, Josh. But seriously, let's be open to what God wants to do. But let's realize that this is what is His authority. The authority is not a person. The authority is God's word, which has been once and for all given to the saints. This is it. This is where we get what we believe from. And so, as we study the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts that are more spectacular, miracles and healings and tongues and prophecy, Let us be willing to see what the Bible has to say. Okay? We'll all be willing. And let us be willing to step out in faith with what God has given. Because it's one thing to believe something. It's another thing to actually pray for someone or to believe something. Something can happen to someone. Amen? Why don't we stand? Dear Father, we thank you so much for your word that you never fail. We pray, Lord, that during this study, this church would be built up through the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit. We pray that we would do everything in accordance with your will and with your word. We pray, Lord, that you would touch each one of us and give us a real openness to love you and to follow you and to give to others the gift that you've given to us. We just pray this in Jesus' name.